702 and Cape Talk.
Technobite with Aki Anastasio.
Aki joining us in our Joburg studios. Hello, Aki.
Africa Milani, good morning to you. How are you doing?
I am very well, thank you very much, my friend. How are you?
I'm on top of the world, thank you. It's Monday, as one can be, and I see Monday differently to everybody else. I see it as a positive start to the week, you know? No point in saying, oh, it's Monday.
You do realize that you're probably in the minority, hey?
I know, I am in the minority.
Well, Aki and I will cover a number of topics that is placed in front of me, but also take up an opportunity to answer a call or two on 021-446-0567 or 118-830-702. And one of those things, Aki, is us looking at our drones are saving lives in Rwanda.
It's absolutely amazing. Now, last week they had the World Economic Forum in Rwanda, and you know, one of the things I've been touching on, I've been following this company with a great deal of interest. They're called Zipline, and basically what they're doing, they're saying is that, listen, Rwanda is quite a, you know, the country is quite spaced out. The road infrastructure sometimes is not good enough, and they're saying that up to 150,000 pregnant women's pregnancy related deaths could be avoided each year if mothers had reliable access to blood, to safe blood, that is. And, you know, all sorts of complications happen during, you know, operations, etc. But what they're using is drones to get medication and blood when needed in an emergency service. Now, the roads, you know, some of them are not accessible, and you know, you're going to save a lot of time by just flying there specifically directly over to that particular location. And what they've done is they've got like these like miniature airports in certain locations around Rwanda. And as soon as a doctor has a problem, they will SMS that particular center. They will then load the blood onto the drone. The drone will fly off and it literally fly over a location. As it's approaching the location, it will send an SMS to the hospital or the doctor nearby and say, listen, we're about to fly over. We're going to drop off your blood that you need. And it comes down via parachute. And here's an excerpt from one of the promos that this company's running and that we're speaking about at this particular conference in Kigali just last week. This is how Zipliner works.
We place a hub next to an existing medical warehouse, and it instantly enables that warehouse to make hundreds of deliveries per day to any location within range.
The doctor sends us their order by text, by phone call, whatever's convenient.
Somebody identifies the need and then prepares the package, puts it on a drone.
Then we take that vehicle and we put it through pre-flight tests. It's launched. It flies automatically out to the clinic.
The path has been already calculated. It's in the computer.
And then they'll receive a text message saying, Zip is 2 minutes away. Please walk outside.
It drops the packet. Somebody goes and collects it.
It turns around, it flies home, and then we get it ready for the next delivery.
Our service not only makes it possible, but also affordable for countries to deliver reliable access to essential medicines for all of their citizens.
It's quite amazing, and they're going to be servicing 20 hospitals this year, and each of these drones has a 75-kilometer range. So, you know, you can literally fly, you know, as the crow flies, you can really get to quite a few places in a country like Rwanda.
Particularly given its challenges in terms of people being able to access adequate healthcare. Sounds absolutely fascinating. We'll be watching it with interest. And then there's a breathalyzer that you can, I don't know, is it an application on your phone? You breathe into it or something and then it tells you whether you're too drunk to drive?
Yeah, so there's quite a few of these ones out, but this one's called Flume, spelled FLOOME. And really what happens is you download the app and then you plug the actual breathalyzer unit into the microphone socket of your phone, and it works on Android, Windows phone, and iOS phone, which is the Apple phone. And what you do is you blow into this, and you basically enter your age, you enter your weight, etc., because that's all impacts according to the amount of alcohol that you have. And then what you do is you blow into this device, and then it'll tell you if you're over the limit or you're under the limit, if you're safe to drive. And then you can either go take a taxi, which gives you the details of a taxi service, or go to a restaurant that you can eat something instead of driving drunk. And it's pretty clever technology. They cost 1,900 rand. And they use the same sensor inside here that you'd find in the law enforcement officer's breathalyzer. So it's a proper device. And I've been testing it out, and it's pretty accurate. And it works.
I'm about to ask, how often have you found yourself to be over the limit, but you don't have to answer that question?
No, well, you know what? I never take a chance. And if I've had a drink or two and I'm out, I Uber and we use a taxi service, you know, just play it safe. It's the right thing to do. It's great that you can have this, because if you're with mates as well, you can enter their details as well and say, listen, you're too drunk to drive. You know, you're over the limit. Don't drive drunk. And I think in a country like this where we have a problem, I think there is a problem with drunk driving. You see too many accidents. I read about them in my traffic reports every day. And I do think it's an issue in our country, and people just take a chance and they think, well, I'm okay to drive, when you're not okay until you have that accident and you just destroy people's lives.
And I wish we'd get this, that it's not about being caught out by a traffic law enforcement, and therefore, if you're found to be driving under the influence, they could potentially take away your license or whatever fine you're going to have to pay. It actually is all about getting yourself to your destination safely and hopefully facilitating a process where the rest of South Africans also get to their destinations safely. That's all of this is all about.
No, absolutely.
Drink and drive because you are going to be caught out by law enforcement. Don't drink and drive because it's the right thing to do.
Exactly. And in fact, I was with my insurance broker this morning and we were talking about this, and they were saying that, you know, the insurance companies will not pay your claim, and rightly so. If you've written your vehicle off, you've had an accident, and they can prove that you were drunk driving. I bumped into a colleague of mine, well, a friend of mine who owns a restaurant, and it was quite interesting. He says to me that the insurance companies on a regular basis, he says he doesn't give the information, they will come to him after a weekend when there has been a claim submitted, and they will say, can we have access to your camera footage? Because you come out of it, you say you've had an accident, they ask you, where were you, what did you do before your accident? And they will verify this, and if they can pick up on the CCTV footage that you were partying a bit too much and they can see that you were drinking alcohol, then they won't pay out as well. So the security companies, the insurance companies really are tightening up on when and how they pay claims. And they will do, you know, they will do a lot of research and investigation to find out if you were indeed sober.
Interesting to note. And now France is one step closer to banning work emails after hours.
Yes, I think you'll agree with me on this one. Do you answer emails after work hours?
I don't.
You are such a liar, Africa.
No, I don't. I truly don't.
So when do you stop?
Unless somebody alerts me, and this is a general rule, alert me on my cell phone that there's an email that I'm sending that I'd really like you to look at, or whatever the case may be. But an hour after my cutoff time, that's it. I may read your email. I just won't reply to it until I am back in my working mode again.
Well, that's interesting. I think this is a trend that's happening around the world. I think WhatsApp as well is one of those services that really, takes over steps the mark, because you're all constantly in some kind of connection with somebody in the office, and you've got the WhatsApp groups as well. I know at EWN we have, but news is a different service because we offer 24 hours, and you know, there could be a breaking story. But France has moved one step closer to banning emails outside the office hours. There's growing evidence that people should not be doing it from a health point of view. Smartphones are really impacting on our lives, and authorities in France are quite worried about these levels of stress, and they are proposing a ban on business related emails outside the office hours. And they basically passed a bill that puts the idea one step closer to becoming law in the next couple of weeks. And they're saying that around about 6 o'clock in the evening, no more emails. That's a fair time, weekends included as well. You can specify the times for sending and receiving emails. So it's quite an interesting take from the French government. I don't know if the bill's going to be passed eventually in their parliament, but certainly a lot of big countries around the world are saying, hey, you know, email's just taking it a bit too far after hours. And I think you are one person that has set a benchmark. I think I'll follow. I will follow suit.
Okay, Anastasia, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. That was the Technobite for this week. He'll be back, obviously, in about 13 minutes to tell us what's happening on the roads, but generally back again on Monday with Reedy to give you the Technobite.